It is National Farmers Market Week, and Minnesota Farmers Markets will be celebrating throughout the week. Here to tell us more is Jesse Davis. Jesse's a garlic farmer. He is manager of member services for the Minnesota Farmers Market Association. Happy Farmers Market Week.
Well, hello, and happy Farmers Market Week, too. You know, I think for most of the farmers here in Minnesota, there is a high probability of a chance of low brain, you know.
This time of the year?
Low brainstorms, because we are out in the fields pulling everything and anything we can out of there, getting to market at, you know, 6 in the morning, setting up, going home. I mean, this is go time, and it is the right time for folks to go and see what is at farmers markets. And we've got a lot of them in this area. We kind of think of ourselves, oh, you know, the metro, and it's true, the metro has like 60 plus farmers markets, but we've got probably 10 different places where we can get, you know, local food in the KXE, KBXE listening area. And
what's, you know, you mentioned how early people get there, but what a typical farmer who's got a stand, what time are they getting up on the market day and going?
Well, if 8 a.m. is when the Grand Rapids Farmers Market opens, and you know, markets open at different times. You know, you look at the one in Ely, which, you know, that goes for saying that they have the shortest growing season. They also have one of the shortest market times too. It's 5 to 7, 2 hours, so they're fine. But
yeah,
8 a.m. you know, that farmer's going to be up around 3:30. They will have been up the night before picking the things that are going to be fine: your carrots, your beets, radishes, cabbage, stuff like that. But you know, that real tender things, the parsley, the dill, the basil, you know, that's all going to be picked in the morning, and it has to be, you know, packed just so, and then unpacked just so. And you know, those beautiful market displays don't make themselves,
right?
So it's a labor of love, and you know, come and share that love is what we're kind of saying. And it's great too, because this is the 18th year that the Department of Agriculture, the USDA, has proclaimed that first full week of August to be National Farmers Market Week. And at the same time, Governor Dayton has done the same thing, as calling this, you know, Minnesota Farmers Market Week. And you know, even though we have some challenges growing some of the things that we really crave up here, you know, your sweet corn, your tomatoes, your watermelons, this is the time where we start to get those things that we love, and you can taste that difference, that they're not coming up, those melons aren't coming up from Guatemala, the corn's not coming up from Florida, and it's the time to be at market.
Yeah, what is August? What does August mean in terms of what's coming to fruition?
You mentioned
the corn and
it's
and
the stuff that people ask for in May and June.
Okay.
You know, hey, where's the corn? It's like, well, it's you know, knee high by the 4th of July, not like mm-hmm. 10 years by the 4th of July, but it's those sorts of things. The University of Minnesota has been, you know, great. You know, here in Grand Rapids, we've got what they refer to as NICROC, the North Central Research and Outreach Center. They've developed all sorts of great apple trees, berries, strawberries. So there's actually ever-bearing strawberries. You know, typically you're looking at late June, early July for strawberries, and then it's done. Well, not with ever-bearing.
Mm.
And same thing with the blueberries. Then you've got early varieties as well as late varieties of apples coming. So, you know,
and Minnesota's done pioneering work in extending seasons through the high tunnels. And,
exactly.
And do you think most growers now are trying to extend the season like that with high tunnels?
The growers who are really serious mm-hmm. about making this a full business.
Mm-hmm.
And that's the thing about farmers markets, is that you've got people who maybe, I kind of hate that term hobby farmer, because it's sort of, to me, it denigrates someone.
It diminishes the whole importance of it. Yeah.
But at the same time, they got to have a job to be able to afford to be that farmer.
Sure.
So maybe it's not that, you know, denigration. But if someone really wants to say, look, this is where I want to find most of my income from, high tunnel is definitely the way to go. And it's interesting. Not quite as much anymore, but maybe 5-10 years ago, the USDA And different state departments of agriculture through block grants were doing a lot of investment in helping people set up high tunnels. And if folks listening don't know what a high tunnel is, it's kind of like a greenhouse light, kind of a Quonset hut. It's got that light plastic on it. Sometimes they're called hoop houses. But again, it's that season extension. You get another, you know, 6 weeks in the spring, another 6 weeks in the fall. And a place that's really taking advantage of that is Alaska. You go to places in Alaska, and anyone that has more than an acre there, they got a hoop house. And
a lot of sunlight, too.
Well, a lot, yeah. I mean, if you've ever seen some of the cabbages they can grow up in Alaska.
Oh, my God. I got to go to the state fair in Alaska twice, and it is amazing. You just go for the produce alone to see it. It's like four of me. It's amazing.
That's a whole lot of cabbage. but yeah, certainly... when you get to see the very first tomatoes of the season, or the very first, you know, in early May, you're seeing the greens and the first produce of the season, you know that there's going to be a hoop house behind that. And then the other nice thing about the hoop house too is you have a lot more control over the precipitation, and a lot more control over disease, too, because you don't have that splashback that's coming from the soil splashing up to the plants from the rain, because you've got drip irrigation. And so I'm hoping that there's going to be a continuation of young growers.
I was just going to ask you, are most of the growers kind of in their 50s and 60s now, or is it catching on?
I feel pretty old, and I'm a youngster. I mean, the average age of the farmer in Minnesota is 57 and a half years old.
Oh, wow.
And that's a huge issue in the state of Minnesota. And that's one reason why statewide, the Minnesota Farmers Market Association is so excited and invested in our immigrant growers and our minority growers, if you will. And of course, the most significant group of that would be the Hmong, who are concentrated in the Rochester and the metro areas. And, you know, multi-generational. So this is grandma, this is mom, and this is, you know, little sister. And they work it. It's kind of like how growers used to do it, you know, back 80 years ago. You know, the grandparents are taking care of the little ones, while the you know, middle generation are there selling, and so it's been really fascinating working with some of these, and they're getting a little bit more sophisticated. They're starting to do more value added, so that's when they're taking their products and adding value by canning or dehydrating, or you know, doing baked goods, or even doing ready to eat foods. And so, you know, it's exciting. I always lament that we don't have some of these amazing, we have very few of these amazing, you know, immigrant or minority growers in our Northland area. But I keep telling them, hey, you know, I know it's hard to find land down there in the Twin Cities. Come on up to my farm. it's exciting to see that. And, I only hope that it continues to grow, because, like I said, you know, 57 and a half, 58 years old, you know, that's kind of an older age for farmers.
Which means there's a lot of older ones, too.
Yeah. There are. And, you know, you go to a farmer's market, you will find some of the most charming elderly people ever. But it's also funny, too, because when I talk to farmer's market managers down in the cities, they're like, oh, we would love to have, you know, these bread bakers and soap makers and jams and jellies and, you know, the kind of skills that older generation has, how to make these amazing raspberry preserves, or, you know, how to make these you know, wild blueberry pies or things like that. So, you know, you always want what you ain't got, right?
Yeah, that's Jesse Davis. We're celebrating National Farmers Market Week. Jesse, how are the celebrations gonna play out this week?
Well, you know, it's not a coordinated celebration per se. It's really just, you know, the food and the produce is the celebration. And, you know, some of these markets we've already missed by now. You know, Ely is on Tuesdays. And, you know, some of these other farmers markets are today. You know, Grand Rapids is today. We've got Manoman, the White Earth Community Farmers Market's going to be tomorrow, along with Nisswa. Virginia is Thursdays as well. And actually, in the Twin Cities, Thursday happens to be the most popular. Thursday afternoons, in fact, are the most popular farmers market time. And a lot of the thinking behind that is, you know, people are getting ready for the weekends. You know, it's the summer. Maybe you're going to go up to the cabin, or you're going to go down to grandma's, whatever. But that tends to be a really popular time. The most popular would be Saturday mornings, but Thursday afternoons are the number two.
You know, one of my favorite is the annual BLT at the Tower.
Is it Tower or Cook?
I think it's Tower.
I can't remember, but yeah, they
have a BLT Friday, Friday night BLT.
Have you been to that, Scott?
No, but I've talked to Marshall and other
people. I've salivated over it.
I know.
Wow.
Yeah.
And then there's a contest going on for the
Magic Apron or something?
Yeah, at the Grand Rapids Farmers Market, right?
It's true. This week, so, you know, our local celebration at the Grand Rapids Farmers Market is the best zucchini baked good. And so we're going to have on Saturday, right? Oh, gosh, I can't even remember. Is it today or is it?
Check his article.
I should read my own article in the paper, right?
But we're
having a customer judged contest where people are going to taste all these different things. And, you know, vote for their own. In the process, they're going to sign up to win a market basket. And then it's going to be kind of, this is the first annual, and we've got this kind of custom screen printed apron, and then that vendor will get to wear this as a trophy. But it's kind of like the Stanley Cup. You get to etch your stuff in, but then you got to pass it on if you ain't got the stuff to keep it for year two.
Or like this weekend, we'll be crowning king and queen of cheese, and that's a duct tape crown that passes on each year.
Exactly. You know, Ely does a neat, and I'm not sure exactly what time it is, but it's probably around now. They do a program for kids called Grow Your Own Pizza. And I think Maggie was talking to Brian, the market manager up there, where the kids actually get to go and help grow in the community garden and then pick out things from the farmer's market, things to go on their pizza. And then they go to a local pizza parlor and the parlor's going to, you know, have the dough and bake it. And again, it's engaging the community. It's getting those kids excited, because when a kid grows their own food or chooses their own produce, they're so much more likely to love it and to go back to it. So,
you know, I have not been, I'm going to admit, I haven't been to the farmer's market very much this year. And I had a chance to go on Saturday. And I forgot, you know, you just get busy.
Yep.
It's not the most convenient thing to do.
It's a horrible
business model. If you're making something, you're looking for a certain ingredient, depends what time of day you get there. I could hear some people, you know, lamenting that the lettuce had been sold already because I went a little later. But how do you get people over that and what the value is of showing up at something like that?
Well, it's tough. You know, the business model of farmers market, you're open one or 2 days a week for a couple hours outdoors for maybe, if you're lucky, half a year, maybe a quarter of a year if you're up in Ely. So it's constantly a challenge. And so it's like me getting on the radio today and saying,
well, you know, there are other
come on, guys.
There's other innovations, though, we've seen, like food hubs and other ways to get local food to market. And if sometimes we might not even know we're eating local foods if it's in a restaurant or something.
But right.
Explain some of those ideas.
And at the Minnesota Farmers Market Association, we realize that farmers markets are part, but not all, of the local food system. And, you know, we're a great way of bringing those introductory growers and makers into the marketplace. But you bring up food hubs, and that's a great example. And Sprout down in Little Falls, Brainerd area is a wonderful example. Because, you know, you look at me, I grow garlic. I might grow some tomatoes and basil and we'd grow potatoes, but I'm not growing everything under the sun. And so I'm only at the market, well, I haven't even been yet. Saturday will be my first market. But if I had a place where my garlic could be combined with, you know, Farmer Betty's cabbage and Farmer Joe's potatoes and Farmer Elaine's tomatoes and put together, going to a hospital, going to a school, going to a restaurant. That makes it more convenient for them because they're not like having to remember, oh yeah, for 2 hours on, what is it, Tuesdays or Wednesdays, this farmer's market's open. They're able to access that. And so, you know, food hubs are really, you know, part of that process of really integrating local food into the whole food system. And also they're very, I think they're going to be very integral into increasing CSAs. And those, if they've got the moniker community supported agriculture, which is kind of a vague term, but that's that subscription you get where each week you get that kind of box of produce. And it's, I think it's great for people too, because it's like, that's right, watermelon doesn't come until August, but here's 20 pounds of kale because that's what we have on the farm. And it's a great way, because that's how our grandmas had to deal with fresh produce. You ate what you had, you put it up, you froze it, you canned it, and you didn't go to bed until you finished all that kale on your plate. So, you know, farmers markets are a great way of getting people in, and they're a great way of bringing community together, and a great way of, I think it's a great way of getting kids introduced to local food, but it's only one part of the local food system. And, but I do want to bring up, you know, I always kind of run a little long on these shows, so apologies out there, but, this is actually, this week, National Farmers Week, is going to be the very first farmers market event for Deer River. And working with the Minnesota Farmers Market Association, I'm really kind of excited about this. And the community really is too. The Essentia Health Clinic there in Deer River, they did a community health needs assessment. And nonprofit health systems have to do this every 3 years, where they have to say, hey, what are the needs of our people, our community here, and what can we do? And access to fresh, healthy, local food was right up there. And so they really said, what are we going to do? And they have invested in a community garden. And so we're in the process of doing different cover crops and green manures, and then we'll be getting some real manure in the next week and getting that tilled in. They're putting up a deer fence around that. The high school there in Deer River, they've got a dedicated agriculture teacher. This kid is, well, I'm old. He's probably like 25, but this guy is so cool. He's out of Marshall. I think he's got two aunts that are both butter princess heads, you know, and he's up there teaching these kids about agriculture, aquaculture, ranching, agriculture entrepreneurship. These kids are fired up. They're going to be there at the farmer's market as well. Ordy's going to be there doing ribs. I'll be there selling garlic. Brindlewood's going to be there selling produce. And it's going to be in conjunction with the Northview Bank. It's going to be at the kind of the Northview Bank site there.
Is it Saturday? Is it
Friday?
Friday. From when to when?
From noon to 5.
Oh, wow. Great.
Now, it's an idea that they want to bring the community in to get some input, too. The idea has been 11 to 3 on Fridays. Kind of thinking, oh, that crowd that's maybe going up to the cabin early on Fridays, they're swinging through Deer River. Let's grab some of this or that, or some steaks or some wild rice, some smoked fish, whatever, before they head up 6 or wherever, you know, up to Winnie. And and then also on Friday, with the fact that folks could also sell at the Grand Rapids Farmers Market on Saturday, and your heirloom tomato might just make it one more day. but we're excited about that. And the other thing I'm really hoping for and excited for with that Deer River Farmers Market is engaging our Leech Lake tribal community, because there's such an untold history of local food that I think our Native American folks can share. And I think food is one of the best ways to bring people together. I know that from dining with my in-laws.
So that's Friday in Deer River.
Yes.
You say 11 to 5?
Well, no. Noon to 5.
Noon to 5.
And it's also during the Northview Bank Customer Appreciation Days. So they're going to be doing, you know, hot dogs and pop and, you know, so free goodies there. And it's just going to be a fun time. And I'm looking forward to that. Of course, Saturday, Grand Rapids Farmers Market is going to be open. You know, Hibbing does the 3 days now, Tuesday, Fridays, and Saturdays. You've got Virginia on Fridays from noon to 5. Bagley is going to be 3 to 6, you know, over by the railroad tracks just south of the Golly Furniture.
And they're Fridays, Bagley?
Nope. Yes, Fridays. Okay. Aiken is Saturdays at the Butler Building. You've got Thursdays in the morning at Nisswa. And then Baxter's, their Fridays is, 8 to 12:30. They're at the Harley-Davidson parking lot there. That's a new location. So there's just a ton of places. If, I mean, granted, it's a couple hours, but there's a ton of places out there. And a great resource is Minnesota Grown. This is the Minnesota Department of Agriculture, their local food branch. And you just go to minnesotagrown.com, and they've got a great search function. So you can say, okay, here's my zip code. I want to know which farmer's market is within 10 miles, 25 miles, 50 miles. It can also show you where apple orchards are, pick your own berries, elk farms if you're looking for some elk antler supplements. But it's a great resource. I don't know. They're supposed to be healthy for you.
Really?
Is it the velvet?
It's a velvet. Yeah, they're velvet.
Really?
And they cram them in a little pill and you swallow it and Bob's your uncle. But yeah, so there's a lot going on out there. And
yeah, I've used the Minnesota Grown website a lot.
Yeah. Oh, me too. And
especially
it's
finding those specialty like apples and, and blueberries. I've picked blueberries 3 times now.
Yeah.
And
if
I think this season.
This season, yeah.
But it's fun too if you're going to visit family, especially if there's kids. You can look that up, and then, I mean, you've got a little rambunctious 8-year-old. Let's go out and pick some apples, or go pick pumpkins, or go to a corn maze, or pick strawberries. It's fun, and then you're getting great food, and you're supporting a local farmer.
It's National Farmers Market Week. Support farmers, support national, or support our local farmers markets. Try out the new farmers market in Deer River that's opening on Friday from noon until 5. I also, since she is not here, I want to commend Maggie Montgomery on this local food segment she does on Wednesdays. It's been a great outreach for people all across the region. Last week, she talked to Jason Hellstrom about their farm and how they mob graze, and she got a note from Jason thanking her, and 5 minutes after the conversation, a restaurant called that wants to buy their products and was in this is going to be in the restaurant. So
yeah, there's a lot
great
of farmers.
Great job on Wednesday mornings.
A lot of folks out there that kind of come out of the woodwork with Maggie doing her local food investigative journalism.
She's quite a good gardener herself too.
Yeah.
Hey, thanks, Jesse. Good to see you again.
Hey, it's always great to be in here. Thanks.
Okay.
Coming up, we'll have best wishes on the Friday. Or no, it's not Friday. It's Wednesday. Wednesday morning show.